What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
It is Dukes and Bell. It is Sports Talk Radio, 92.9 The Game, man. We're number one in the city, biggest show in town, thanks to you guys. Appreciate that. And now we're like the biggest powerhouse in the Southeast, man, for sports talk. Again, thanks to the best listeners in town. Oren behind the glass. Chris is in for Carl today. Carl's under the weather. Presume he'll be back tomorrow. But I'm off to Sin City. That's why we joke around when we have, one of us has vacation, like Carl and I, and it's a little bit of like a four-day weekend, with the Monday off for President's Day, that mentally you're kind of like, you check out. And then, Chris called me today and says, hey, Carl's off today. I'm like, what? So I had to like get in character, What? I'm just saying. Had to get that extra cup of coffee, Horn. Had to fire up the computer, get back into work, come up with these hijinks that you guys want.
No days off, Mike. No days off.
You're darn right there aren't. But again, some days, as Steak says, sometimes it's a B-plus effort. Not today, though. Appreciate the feedback. You guys can always hit us back at 404-726-0929. Right now, though, we got some bad news as part of our daily download.
Story number one.
You got to be freaking kidding me, man. We're just talking about this great bench that we put together for the Hawks. Now, we've added pieces. These guys were already here as part of the bench. But if you watched that Magic game the other night on Monday, Vete Krejci left the game with a lower back contusion. Now we find out he's got a non-displaced lumbar fracture.
Oh.
It looked awful. I mean, he was as high up as you could be. Who was the jackleg who submarined him for the Magic?
Anyway, Jonathan Isaacs.
Isaacs, yeah, that guy. With like the weekend haircut. That guy came flying in and he lands on his back and you could see it. I mean, it was like he's in the air. It's like, oh no. And I was talking to Carl on yesterday's show. They had the microphone was there, like right there on the baseline. And he was like, ah. And you knew it was. How about the fact the guy was able to get the technical because it was a full one and he was able to get the free throw and then basically hobble off the floor with a jacked up back.
Imagine how that felt when the adrenaline wore off. Woof.
Woof. Yeah, that was a flagrant one. That was the call, and he got the shot. Meanwhile, that's injury number one. So he's out at least 3 to 4 weeks. So Vete Krejci and what he brings off the bench, inconsistent three-point shooter at times. Sometimes he's lightning in a bottle. Meanwhile, Larry Nance Jr., who had been missing some games but has been really good when he's on the floor.
He's fine, right?
Nope. Oh. He's got a non-displaced fracture of his right medial femoral condyle. What? I didn't know men had condyles. Anyway, it's a body part. I presume that's around the foot, the agony of the ankle, the feet, the knee, right? And foot bone connected to the shin bone connected to the knee bone. He's going to be reevaluated in approximately 6 weeks.
Oh, no.
So basically, you're going to lose Larry Nance Jr. and his size off the bench and everything else he does. And some good, occasionally some good three-point shooting.
You think Clint brought his uniform tonight?
Well, and that's the thing. We were talking earlier today with Caleb Johnson about what's going on with the Hawks, and nobody really has a straight answer on, Clint was basically put on ice. They didn't start him. When guys were about to get traded, they don't want to risk injury. But Clint's been in civilian clothes the last couple of nights. So
on the injury report.
Yeah, but that's the thing. He's not showing up on the injury designation. So what's up?
I don't know. He's not on it again. Trae Young is available with right Achilles tendonitis management. He's good to go. And then we know the regulars, Kobe, Jalen, Vete, and Larry are all out. But Clint, nowhere to be found.
So the Hawks just can't catch a break. Pardon the pun. We got some non-displaced stuff and body parts that you don't want to have non-displaced things on. So either way, guys are banged up. It's 3 to 4 weeks for Veet, and it looks like 6 weeks and basically the season for Larry Nance Jr., it sounds
so
like.
So come on down, Keaton Wallace and Daquan Plowden.
Yeah,
it worked
man.
Once before.
Right, Skyhawk time.
Yeah.
Hey, Hawks fever.
Catch it.
Story number two.
Story number two.
Hey, man. We talked a lot about the NFL today and what's going on with this pre-draft stuff and a lot of rumors floating around already. Mock drafts got people pulling their hair out. One thing for certain, somebody's going to reach. Who's going to, if you want to trade down, and the Falcons historically never trade down in the first round to try to maybe get some more pieces if somebody you really covet is already taken, you think we could get somebody to maybe fall in love with the third best quarterback and come up to 15?
Yes.
No, is the third? I don't think the third best quarterback's available. I mean, you wouldn't have to jump up. You could get him at 25, couldn't you? Or 30. Mm-hmm. Talk about like a guy like a Jackson Dart or some of the other names that are not Shador Sanders and Cam Ward.
Quarterbacks make teams do stupid things.
Hey, talk about Pickett and the Steelers.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
by the way, the guy was a human victory cigar in the Super Bowl,
yes,
by the way.
Yes, he was.
Kenny Pickett.
He had that like quarter where he played for Hurts and then he got hurt.
Right.
So he only played for like a quarter. Here's the thing, though. Quinn Ewers is the interesting one for me because if a team disregards the last couple of games, he had some moments where he was pretty good.
I think Quinn Ewers, you saw his ceiling. I just thought he was inconsistent at times. Like, they should have lost to Arizona State. I'm not a fan. And I thought that I'm honest. I think especially at the next game, if you go back and watch the tape, if Ohio State doesn't knock Arch Manning into tomorrow, he's going to be in that game, I think, to finish. Certainly the plays in the red zone. But anyway, getting back, do you think Quinn Ewers is a top, what, 20?
I think he could be. Or Jackson Dart. I mean, there's other guys that are out there.
He'll have to really blow doors at the combine, et cetera.
Dylan right? Gabriel. He's another guy. I mean,
we said the same thing about Dylan Gabriel. We said about Bo Nix, and Bo Nix has just been amazing.
Well, there's a little bit of a size difference there.
Yeah, and also the experience. Well, yeah, Dylan was around for a while though too. But that is an interesting angle. If that's somewhere you're looking to maybe pick up some stuff. Because we only have four picks this year, guys. We don't have our third. We lost that in the Judon trade. We don't have our fifth. The NFL took that away for Kirk Cousins having a 10-minute phone conversation with a trainer before it was the end of legal tampering. Which is why have legal tampering of all that? You can't. It makes no sense.
No.
And then eventually, and we don't have a sixth rounder as well. So just got four picks this year with a number of holes, as Chris said, trying to find three starters, certainly two starters perhaps in the secondary specifically.
I think it should be three because I don't think Mike Hughes did enough.
No, he's a free agent. I think he's gone.
Yeah. So you're looking at a CB2, a nickel, and a safety opposite Jesse Bates for me. And Mike, ultimately, what it's going to come down to is what we were talking about last hour is what do Terry and his crew ultimately decide is the best, Michael, use your word, mousetrap, to come up with.
Build a better mousetrap.
Yeah, to build a better mousetrap in order to allocate their funds and their resources and their draft picks to which positions. Do you value defensive line first and then secondary and then linebacker? That's only stuff that they'll never tell us about, but that's what's going to be the deciding factor for them coming up to the draft.
Yeah, it's very frustrating because, you know that the company line all the next few weeks and months will be, hey, well, you know, we figured we'd have that $45 million hit of Kirk Cousins, you know, on this team. Okay. So with the cap going up, they knew that Judon was a one-year rental. Nothing wrong with that. I'll never fault a guy for trying something.
No.
Because all of us agreed we thought Judon was going to be better than that. And then it's the chicken and the egg. If you had better stuff around Judon, or is that as good as it gets with Ebiketie? We had just a bunch of guys. Think about Lorenzo Carter on the rotation. Guys that just don't pop. Guys that just don't get home. So it's the defense. We've been talking about all the defense. And this team is going to have opportunities to get Georgia Bulldogs, if we're lucky. Unless these guys, again, just have amazing combines in Indianapolis, where, unfortunately, Mykel Williams and Jalen Walker might even not be in our range at 15. And then maybe you take the best athlete, which could be a corner. And then we're right back to where we started. Then it's a second-round guy with hopefully a high ceiling and edge rush. Mike Green from Marshall, he's gone too.
Is he really?
I mean, don't you think he'll be gone before 15?
I don't know if he's a big enough name.
All right.
Even if he has a big combine,
it's going to take an incredible combine for him to move up, I think, into the
because he's second round. He's perceived to be second round. I just know that it was kind of like the Jadeveon Clowney playing the Outback Bowl when he blew up that Michigan lineman. Everybody was talking about the practice. Our boy Jarvis Davis was down there when he blew up the lineman from Oregon, who was considered one of the best linemen in the Senior Bowl in Mobile, but that went viral. But that doesn't mean the personnel guys, to your point, are going to make him a top 15 or top 20 pick.
No, and I just feel like at the end of the day, if that, like, whichever one you don't do in the first round, you then need to go spend money on the other one. So right. If you do get a corner in the first round, Mike, which I'm fine with, then you better damn go spend money on a pass rusher and right. Vice versa. Like, it can't be all or nothing, and then, you know, all of a sudden we find out they're bringing in a new, you know, center or safety via free agency. No. You got to get the guys that
right.
you
well,
need.
Well, that was the irony last year. Look, the Penix thing is what it is. We're excited about his future. You know,
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know where I stand on this, just one or the other. You just don't give Cousins the money and make Penix the guy. But then, you know, in the second round, to go with a reach for Rukororo, and that's a reach, and we've already covered it. All those corners, everybody was a starter at one point who went after a Rook as a secondary pick, and Rook only started and played in 8 games this year for the Falcons. So you didn't get the impact in the second round that the other teams got the impact in the secondary guys that they drafted.
It just looks so bad with what DeJean did in the Super Bowl, man.
I know.
It just looks so bad. He was such a stud, and to not only that, they doubled down. They had Mitchell, too.
Right.
I mean, like, Terry and Arnold went to Detroit. I mean, these guys were just available, and they were all on teams in the playoffs.
The NFL Network mock draft I'm looking at has Mike Green going to the Bears at 39. So they don't even have – he's not in the first round yet unless he does even more stuff, as we said, in the combine. Falcons would be in the mix. Trey Amos, a corner from Ole Miss. There's a couple of other guys. There'll be some corners there. James Pierce may fall there, the edge rusher from Tennessee, which a lot of people – that's why, guys, you got to wait. I know everyone's caught up in – because there's nothing else to do. You start doing these mock drafts. Take it from me. I do too many. But until you get that real valuation that's across the board from the combine, a lot of this is just like throwing darts.
No, it is. But at the same time, Mike, when the season ended the way that it did, we need to start thinking about this stuff because we certainly can't think about the past. We need to be future oriented when we're talking about the Falcons because this mess. But we all know first order business. And hopefully we'll find out this time, you know, about a month from now, is that Kirko Chains is leaving his diamonds in Atlanta.
Yeah, man, the Kirk thing, and we saw some funny text messages today. It's 404-726-0929. So even funnier stuff on Twitter today where somebody's like, yeah, we'll call the Jets and we'll trade Kirk Cousins for who's it for?
Sauce Gardner.
One of the best corners in the league. Guys, they're going to cut Kirk Cousins on March 12th. You're not going to get anything for him, and then somebody's going to negotiate for the league minimum. Or maybe $2 million. Maybe what did Russ get with the Steelers? 1.5?
1 million.
Yeah. So that's where it's at, guys. Kirk Cousins is gone. Get it out of your head. Flush out your headgear. Plus, you don't want this creep around anyway.
I didn't forget how to play quarterback.
Yeah, you did. And then D-Led goes Mike Wallace on him in that event down in New Orleans, and all of a sudden puts a shirt over his Falcons shirt. Is what, you're going to hide? Because you lied about being hurt, and then you lied. I mean, yeah, he's a fraud. Really, really, I feel every time we bring this conversation up, Chris, and I've said this to Carl a dozen times, I just feel like stupid because I really bought into this guy. But hey, I'm not the only one. So did Bijan Robinson. So did everybody in that building.
No, everybody did. And Mike, when it was going,
but
so,
it's just so jive.
It's going so well.
Yeah.
It was going so well until it wasn't.
No, I mean, look, at 6-3, nobody's saying anything about Kirk Cousins.
No.
And then as things, don't have to remind you how this went. It's to me, though, to sit there and just to improve your marketing and basically make the organization look bad, because immediately people start pointing fingers at the organization when he says, oh, no, I was hurt those 4 or 5 weeks. And then people say, well, what the hell's going on with your training staff and your coaching staff? And it makes the Falcons look dumb. And so that's, you know, look, we look dumb enough without Kirk Cousins helping.
Yeah, well, right. I mean, collapsing at the end of the season the way that you did, exactly.
Right. Hey, man, one last nugget. Matt Patricia is going to be the Ohio State defensive coordinator. Their DC got big money to go to Penn State. I know we all think of Patricia as kind of a clown for what happened with the Eagles and his head time with the Lions, but the guy's still a good defensive coordinator.
You know what I will say? I saw him on McAfee the other day, cleaned himself up. He shaved the beard, pencils out of the ear, no hat on. He had a button-down shirt. He lost some weight. Maybe he learned his lesson.
How about that? And Jim Tressel is now Ohio's lieutenant governor. We'll come back. We're going to talk about what it's like to win the Super Bowl twice in the same period of time that we have not had a winning season. Think about that. Yeah, we're going up to Philly. If you're one of those Eagles fans. By the way, my neighbor with the green and white lights, enough already, okay? It's been 3 days. We'll talk about what's going on up there in Philadelphia and people falling off of poles and stuff. Rob Ellis from WIP next.
Nah.
Dukes and Bell with Chris Thomas in for Carl, and he's ready to go. Rob Ellis from Sports Radio 94 WIP, our sister station up there in Philly. Well, Rob, congratulations. Pretty impressive.
Hold on. Let me get down from the pole first. The reception's not great up here. I got to slide down very carefully. You don't need burns in those areas, guys.
Right,
you know
right.
Yes,
right. I mean,
yes, correct.
No, I mean, like, it is, like, not all fans, but many fans in Philadelphia are just animals. But, again, you've earned the right to go crazy. Did you anticipate?
You do sound very jealous.
Well,
you
know, I speak from personal experience, having been to the vet and the spectrum. as a Ranger and Giants fan, these are terrible decisions, a Mets fan for Phillies games and a Giants fan for Eagles games. But either way, regardless, how impressed did you even anticipate the level of dominance they would have on Sunday?
No, and I think anybody who says otherwise is lying. Honestly, I said all week, I thought they'd win. I thought they'd win because I thought they were more talented. I thought the edge of having lost 2 years ago and the manner in which they did versus the nice little cherry on top for a three-peat, I thought that edge would play into it. No, I didn't see this coming at all. I thought we would be, you know, nail-biting, agita, white-knuckle, down to the last second. I really did. I mean, I thought this was going to be, you know, just guppy stomach or whatever the hell they call it. I thought this thing was going to come down to the last second. I'm blown away. I'm shocked. Look, the Eagles have been, they're 16-1 since the bye week. So I guess maybe I shouldn't be shocked. But when you blow out Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Steve Spagnuolo, Travis Kelce, yeah, I mean, there's anybody who says they weren't surprised in Philadelphia is flat out lying to you.
When it comes to Jalen Hurts, was the internal belief there that if the game went the way it did with Saquon being bottled up, that he was able to do what he did?
I didn't think he – let me put it this way. He played great in the last Super Bowl against them. He made one gigantic mistake, right, which ultimately probably cost him the game, probably cost him the MVP. I'm not surprised he played well. But if you told me that they were going to be able to handle Saquon to the degree that they were, I thought it would be a really ugly game for the Eagles. I would say to you the defense, which they were great, would have had to have been great. And it would have been a really close game, and likely the Eagles would have lost the game had Saquon, you know, done what he did in that game. So it's like this game was filled with surprises, guys.
We had talked a lot again about Rob. I got to reset because Carl's off today. I've got to do all the point work, which, you know, not my favorite. Rob Ellis is with us, guys, from IP in Philly here on the WadeFord.com hotline. We had talked about Fangio and how he'd never beat Mahomes, but it just, yeah, you give him those kind of tools like Jalen Carter and all those dogs and everybody else. It just seemed like they had the plan, and I've never seen Mahomes look that bad in a big game.
I haven't either. You know, here's the thing with Fangio that you do have to take into account. You guys know this. Some of that stuff can be a little bit misleading. You know, his offenses in those games averaged, I think, 11 points per game. You know, they just didn't show up. So I think that also has to come into play. But the job that he did, there's nothing more remarkable, even Saquon's season, there's nothing more remarkable than the defensive turnaround. Guys, they were bottom three in almost every important category last year. You saw the collapse, the way that they fell apart. To have them top five in every category and to go out there and just bludgeon the Chiefs in the manner in which they did, Fangio deserves a lot of props. Look, as you guys well know, there's a lot of Bulldogs that are playing really well for that team, and they have a lot of talent. And Howie Roseman did a great job, you know, unearthing Zach Bond from New Orleans. But, man, Fangio, here's the other part of this thing. Last year, Fangio gets badmouthed out the door by Dolphins players. What losers they look like.
Right.
How much credit should they get for riding it out with Sirianni and not pulling the trigger when a lot of people wanted them to?
They should get a ton. Look, here's the thing. I was not a fire Fangio guy. I recognize there are some things that are, let's put it this way, unorthodox. You guys know I don't think it's a winning proposition to get into it with your own fans, you know, those kind of things. But he connects, and at some level, I would always get – you guys probably get a lot of the, you know, similar questions with the Falcons with certain people. And I would get calls that would say, well, what does he do? Well, you know what he does? He connects with these guys. He's a CEO. I liken it to a baseball manager where there's a lot of twists and turns and ups and downs and things that you have to be able to deal with for as far as personalities go, and he's great. Even from the jump with the veterans, back in the day with guys like Kelce and Fletcher Cox, they had his back. He connected well with them. And that told me something when veterans connect with them. But these guys really do play hard for him.
And the Saquon Barkley thing, Rob. I mean, like the Giants, if you watch that in the midseason, offseason Hard Knocks, the Giants just come off looking like such punks and amateurs. And Saquon, it just seems like they rallied. It's amazing that we beat you guys on that Saquon drop pass going back to early in the season. It seems like it was like years ago. But, I mean, just so good. And also, you know, I thought it was really a class act not going for the 2000, saying, look, I got to stay healthy. I got to stay healthy for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we saw it earlier in the year, guys. He was smoking the Giants, if you remember, in New York. He could have gone for the all-time Eagles rushing mark in one game. And he said, let the young guys eat. It's never been about that for Saquon. Look, as great as this guy is on the field, man, he is absolutely a guy you want in your locker room. For the life of me, how Joe Shane and Dable survived in New York is beyond belief. I mean, the owner is literally, you know, hey, I'd really have a hard time seeing this guy leave. I'd especially have a hard time seeing him go up the road to Philly. And you keep that guy around after that? I mean, it is astonishing.
When it comes to the roster building process and Howie Roseman, who's been there a while and is now regarded as one of the best executives in all of football, as we look here in Atlanta, Rob, to sort of mold our own sort of Eagles path, if you will, to forming our own defense, which needs a lot of work, describe his strategy over the last couple of years in putting together this unit that ultimately suffocated the Chiefs the way that they did.
From a drafting standpoint, you go inside out. Whether it's Jalen Carter, whether it's Jordan Davis, whether it's getting a guy a little bit later like Milton Williams, whether it's, you know, taking a project guy like Jalix Hunt, who was a converted safety who just kept growing. You, on that side of the ball, you build it, and both sides really, but I'm just giving you the defensive line. And then you go offensively, it's Landon Dickerson, it's Lane Johnson, it's unearthing another guy who never played football in his life, didn't know how to put pads on. And Jordan Mailata, who was a rugby player. You know, it's those kind of moves where you understand we better protect the quarterback. Just ask Patrick Mahomes. You better protect the quarterback, and you better be able to get after the quarterback. And the fact that Fangio didn't send one blitz in that game, not one, all of that pressure, all of those hits came from a four-man front. That's ultimately how you still win in this league, is the trenches.
It's Dukes and Bell with our man Chris in for Carl today. We are talking with Rob Ellis, guys, Sports Radio 94 WIP up there in, the city of brotherly shove. He joins us here, man. The other thing is A.J. Brown. Last year, we know the coaching staff kind of got sideways and they kind of overcorrected, and Patricia just absolutely just blew it on defense. It seemed like there was going to be a mini soap opera with A.J. Brown belly aching about, you know, the touches when they were running the ball so much. And then it all kind of went away. So is that going back to Sirianni, or is A.J. Brown just mercurial, or how did that all play out?
Well, he's mercurial for sure. I mean, he fits the receiver position very well. Even if you guys check his Instagram, he posted some weird thing last night. Like, I thought winning it would be the ultimate. It's not really. I still need to dominate people.
What?
I don't know. Check it out when you get a chance.
All right.
Yeah. He's a strange cat. Now, productive, yes. Is a guy who's willing to block downfield. You know, for Saquon, he's been willing to do that all year, and really there haven't been any major blowups. But I always feel like you're about one half step away from something with AJ, whether he's reading a book on the sideline or, you know, one of these Instagram posts or whatever. He's a different cat. He's a great player, right? He's a great player. And I think to some degree, it's just you got to live with some of this stuff in the NFL with certain players. He's one of them. But to your greater point here, these guys really have bought into what it is. Like, I don't think Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman ultimately want to win pounding the ball like it's 1975. But when Saquon Barkley is blowing up to the degree that he is, and the offensive line goes to the coach on the bye week and says, man, let us run the ball. To all of their credit, they did it. They played to their strengths. They didn't try to go Andy Reid square peg round hole. Like, Andy Reid in that game, explain this to me, guys. How do you not in the third quarter come out at least trying to run the ball to take some of the heat off your quarterback?
Right.
Yeah, they only ran it like three or four times. Yeah. It was unbelievable.
That's it. Right. Pacheco killed the Eagles two Super Bowls ago. He ran all over them.
Yeah.
And it was like Eagles fans having PTSD from Andy back in the day before he became, you know, the finished product that he is now, where he would get so stubborn with passing the ball, and we'd all be ripping our hair out saying, dude, mix it up a little bit. Yeah.
Rob, before we let you go, Jason Kelce is synonymous with the Eagles. He's also now one of the more front-facing media stars, not just in sports, but in all of Hollywood. Does him being so closely associated with the organization, do fans love that and embrace it, or do they not want that national spotlight attached to their team?
No, they love it. They love it. Like, Kelce's a guy who can do no wrong. And even this week, it had to be a very weird situation for him, right? I know he addressed it on his podcast and whatnot, but you know, your brother's playing, and you also have the Eagles. You bleed green. It's a tough spot for him. But no, he's in that category along with guys like Brian Dawkins. And, you know, there have been, I'm sure now, Saquon and et cetera. But really, the city loves him. Because here's the thing with Jason Kelce, and it gets him in trouble sometimes. He's not a guy who's walking around with 35 bodyguards. He might have to start, but he's a guy that you can find in your corner bar sometimes, who's, you know, arm wrestling, you know, Johnny Sixpack at the end of the bar. Like, he's that guy. he's that accessible, and I think that's really appreciated in this town.
Hey, Rob, one more question. We always get in our arguments, and sometimes we agree with the audience, that our owner, Arthur Blank, is a wonderful person, but he's a meddler. What's Lurie's approach up there, man? Is he hands-off, or how's it work?
I wouldn't say he's hands-off, but I wouldn't say he's a meddler either. I think he has such deep trust in Howie Roseman. But that's not to say that he's not involved. Like, the coach meets with him every week, every Tuesday. He's up to speed on everything. He will give input on, hey, I really like this guy in the draft, which I know that probably sounds absurd, but he will do that kind of stuff. But ultimately, he lets his football people do their thing. And again, Howie is a guy who's had some ups and downs. And when Chip Kelly was here, Jeffrey Lurie gave him full control, and Howie had to stand aside. But he came back strong, and he's been a much better general manager since then. And Jeffrey Lurie is extremely loyal to him. So ultimately, Howie has the final say in everything. But I would say, Jeffrey Lurie's been a really good owner for this team. I think he gets it in a lot of ways. And I think he's grown and learned a lot from when he bought the team in 1994.
Right. Well, it's a hell of a position to be in, man, to be in the Super Bowl 3 times in the last 7 years, to win 2 of them, man. So, yes, begrudgingly, congratulations.
I appreciate it, guys. Yeah, listen, I'm of the age that we went. I thought I'd never see a Super Bowl win, okay,
right?
First of all. The Sixers haven't won since 83. The Flyers haven't won since 75. So, yeah trust me, it's – been through some stuff, okay?
Well, hang in there. Have fun at the parade, brother, man. Take care.
All right, fellas, you got it.
You got it. Rob Ellis, guys, from 94 WIP up there in Philly. Yeah, I mean, as we said, I know that, there'd be some awful mutants up there in Philadelphia, but like I said, since we went and lost that playoff game in Philadelphia, which a game that came down to the final play, when Julio got mugged, refs didn't have the balls to call it. Matt couldn't high point it. That star-crossed Matt Julio combination in the end zone, which we always wanted more of, couldn't get it. And they go on to win the Super Bowl, and then we don't get a winning season for the following 7 seasons.
Summed it up nicely there, Mike Bell.
So, see, if it's a chart, one team went this way, Milheim, another team went this way, Milheim. All right, man, real quick, I'm heading out to Sin City tomorrow. I do it every year. I will say this, every year subsequently, the bet has gotten smaller. Falcons are 60-1. Here's a couple of the bets for you. We are at plus 100. So basically, you're going to bet 100, make 100 to win the division. We are still the best odds to win the division next year over Tampa Bay. So 404-726-0929. As a Falcon fan, how do you feel about making these bets? Right?
Put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah, man. Talk to Oren. We'll get you on the radio. Do you feel confident that they're going to fix the defense? We know we got a good offense. You're confident they can fix it next. Hey, man, we are basically, even money. It's like 2-1 that we can win this division. We still got the best odds, better odds than the defending 2-time back-to-back champs with the Bucks. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, because I really feel like at the end of the day, Mike, the Bucks, although you did beat them twice last year,
right.
The Falcons' holes on defense, until they show that they can make significant improvements, do you believe it? I don't yet. I'm going to see it, man.
I mean, technically, it's 1, 2, 3, 4 years in a row that they've gone as division champions.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, 2020, they lost to the Saints for the division, but then, of course, went on to, win the Super Bowl with Tom Brady.
Yeah, that whole thing.
So, basically, they've been owning this thing, and Vegas still has us better odds. It's 30-1 for us to get to the NFC Championship and win it, and it's 60-1 for us to win the Super Bowl. Get your take on where I should put my money where my mouth is out in Vegas. Start with Xavier. Xavier, what do you think about the Falcons issue? Are they going to fix it?
Nah, I think you whiffed on here. You were supposed to take hold of the division. I think you let Tampa find some young pieces, and I feel like you let Carolina get confidence, and they find some young pieces as well. So I'm kind of iffy.
All right, man. We know we can score some points. He's bearish, not bullish on the Falcons.
What do you think about the Panthers, by the way?
I mean, they're building a really nice young defense. They're going to have more picks to do so. They believe in Bryce Young, so they're not going to go after quarterback. They're not that you would this draft. So maybe, Canales will get things cooking up there. They got the makings of a good defense.
Here's the thing. I'm worried about the division record next year much more than I was this year, Mike.
Right. Guys, we blew it seven ways to Sunday last year. Just no ifs, ands, or buts. And it's funny because we lost that game in New Orleans, and I said to Carl, you know, we can still lose this division. Carl's like, no, we can't. I said, yes, we can.
I remember when you said
that. I said, the Bucks can win more games than us.
Remember that time you said that thing?
Yeah, remember that? I remember. I said that. Look, I'm not proud of it. I saw it. Hey, man. Hey, Joe. Where are you going with that gun in your hand? Joe, what do you think the Falcons are going to do? Are they going to fix it?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
I'm bearish on NFC Championship, but they 100% should win this division. Get me a freaking better blindside protector, though. 1,000%. Right. I don't want McGarrity protecting Penix's blindside. I just can't have it.
It's a good point. Chris brought it up last year. That's when you made the switch because Mike is left-handed. So McGarry is really good going forward, not so good going backwards. When he just one of those plays in contact over the course of the game. Unfortunately, he trips on Lindstrom's foot and he gets basically, you know, whoops. And that's what basically led to the Kirk Cousins injury when he got hit. It wasn't Cam Jordan. It was the other edge rusher for the Saints in that
game.
Yeah,
it was number 98.
Right.
I have not heard hide nor hair about a potential switch at right tackle.
No,
I think they're gonna.
Not moving. They're not moving Jake. Jake's not gonna move to right side. It's just a matter of, look. Does that mean they're gonna go? It'd be so Falcon to go offensive line, but you do have to keep somebody around to keep edge rushers off of the quarterback at times. You know, it's more than just having a tight end out there. You know, you're losing a piece down the field if you got to keep chipping guys that are coming off the edge. Right? That's a concern.
Yeah, I would say so, Mike.
All right, so add that to the list of to-do things on your action list for the offseason. Steve, hey, man, are you bullish or bearish on the Falcons? Where are you falling on this? Hey, man.
Hey, man, Al.
Hey, man.
Mike, my friend, my mentor, who's always right, I called early in the season and said, the future is so bright, we got to wear shades. I've been a Falcons fan longer than John Fricke, if that tells you anything.
Oh, that's crazy.
So they got to prove it to me this year. I revolved my whole life around the Falcons this season. And you see what happened.
I know.
And it's not the first time. I'll be a fan, but they got to show it to me.
I hear you. No, brother, it's a couple of years in a row now I've missed a home game because I got so frustrated, you know? And this was the one, unfortunately, that I missed Penix's debut. They did grind out the win against the Giants. Was there for the last game of the season, which just left me with, you know, just apoplectic. Because how are you going to let Bryce Young look like Joe Montana at our house? And they did. Defense was brutal.
And it cost the defensive coordinator his job, and it rightfully should have. Right. By the way, Mike, not so much sunshine for our last caller. This was more like a solar eclipse, what happened to the Falcons this year. Again, I just think you're putting yourself in a position now where you look at this division next year, Panthers are going to be better than you think. As you said, the Bucs, not one, not two, not three, not four. And, you know, Mike, those damn Saints. You know, as bad as they're going to be,
right,
they're going to play us hard. Kamara's going to go off. Taysom Hill's going to do his thing. And I'm not saying we're going to lose, but you know it's going to be a dogfight. So for you to have the 4-0 record that you had at the time that you had it,
right,
this time next year, not going to be so easy.
So there you go. Basically, everybody's kind of lukewarm at best on the Falcons this offseason. Hey, if you missed the news on the Hawks, guys, it's bad news. Unfortunately, the injuries, and they looked awful. I mean, it's one thing when you see it as you're watching TV, the game in Orlando on Monday. It looked bad, and it is bad. Vete Krejci is going to be out 3 to 4 weeks, at least 3 to 4 weeks, after landing on his back down in Orlando.
That could have been worse, man.
It looked, I mean, yeah. I thought he was going to go to the hospital the way it looked, the noises he was making. And then it's worse for Larry Nance Jr. He'll be evaluated in 6 weeks with, just when you think you know all the acronyms for the knee, it's the dreaded MFC, which is the bone which bends towards the inner part of the knee. So basically, knock knees in that game. And that's
isn't
what,
that the guys who fight in the cages?
No, that's UFC.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Right. And, you know, what Luka was battling this offseason is KFC.
It's finger-licking good is what that is.
I said he was battling, Luka's battling KFC, Orin. As in Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah. As in the Colonel.
I'm making tremendous sacrifice. I told LeBron, yes, it's true. I go from extra crispy to original recipe. If you missed joke last week, we do it again for you. Thank you, Orin. When I sweat, it smells like I can't believe it's not butter.
Hey, that's a step up from the full fat thing.
Thank you. If I do see Brian Windhorst, I will punch him in his fat. I don't know if that is necessarily a rimshot joke I'm making. Fact, that fat slob. Who is it? He calls me fat? Tub of goo. Big fat LeBron, sweaty sycophant. That's what he is.
Sorry, that's a nice alliteration. Anyway, all right, Chris, we're going about to get the heck out of Dodge. You'll be here back tomorrow. What's on tomorrow's program?
Yeah, we're going to check in with our buddy Rob Bradford, Odyssey MLB insider. Get us primed not only on what the Braves are doing from a national perspective, but get the look at the entire MLB scene as pitchers and catchers report across the league. And then we will also be talking to our buddy Ian Valentino. I said Ian Valentino from the 33rd team NFL as we continue to break down the early story headlines from the offseason.
All right, man. I know that Grant McCauley, if you missed that, you can always rewind on the Odyssey app and see what he was saying. Apparently, knee braces on Acuna, but he's looking good swinging the bat. Don't know when he's going to come back. I asked Grant specifically about Spencer Strider, and Grant thought that he would be back in May. So that's good news for the Braves, and that means you only have to deal with potentially Ian Anderson. Look, this is Ian Anderson's last chance.
Literally.
I mean, as a Brave. He's not like he's going to get out of the show, but there's only so many times, as you guys know, you can go up and down on the yo-yo to Gwinnett. Eventually, you have to stick or you're out. And this is basically nut-cutting time, as Carl would say. And look, we like Grant Holmes. I agree with Chris. Just felt you missed some opportunities. Flaherty with the Tigers, that seemed like Braves' financial wheelhouse based on the kind of money Alex likes to spend or not spend on pitching. All right, man. We got to get the heck out of Dodge. We got Hawks pregame coming up, and then they're in action from the Garden. Can they make it four in a row? Can Trey put on a show? We're going to find out. Hey, man, let's clear our throats.
Well, Mike Bell, we talked about it all show long. We'll get there eventually. The NFL draft will be here, and it'll be here before you know it. And the Atlanta Falcons right now are up there at Flowery Branch doing all their equations, putting all the numbers together, all their spreadsheets about who to draft, who to bring in at free agency, and who to trade for.
We'll see. I hope they get it right. Hey, man, I've been watching some of that Tomorrow's Golf League. That's the simulator golf, that arena they built down in West Palm that Arthur Blank's part owner of. Tiger and Rory, we've seen some of it. One of the things that was interesting when Tiger played Rory 2 weeks ago was Tiger got hit with a shot clock violation. You got to be over the ball and you got to putt. I think most people, whether you're on the public links, if you're at Chastain or at a fancy schmancy golf course, everybody takes too long. And now pro golfers are kind of feeling the heat. A little war of words between Colin Morikawa and Lucas Glover. You should ban your aim point. Well, they should ban your stupid-sized putter. Hey, golfers, just speed it up, will you? As I said in Caddyshack, while we're young. Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
you're the person that decided that they're still going to watch Live Golf because they're airing before the majors.
I hate Grady. I did not say that. Doctored audio.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.